This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, August the 22nd, 2008.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The crop tour is over, and the analysts say the ride through the Midwest was nearly as crazy as the marketplace. We'll find out just how crazy today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with a very tired and maybe even a little muscle sore Chip Flory, fresh off the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Our panelists today in studio are Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Vince Reinicke of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Last week, I asked the analyst if they thought an early season harvest low was in place. They all hedged a bit and called it a pre-harvest low. The corn rallied 50 cents this week, soybeans a buck. Are you convinced? Kurt Kimmel.
Yeah, we saw follow through on the technical side. We had trend divergences. We had reversals. We had follow through buying. We've tripped some shorter term moving and averages, so the technical crowd should be on the buy side. Fundamentally, we're seeing the trade be a little bit concerned about the crop size. Then lastly, too, we're seeing some good old-fashioned demand start to surface underneath the market.
Yes, but is the harvest low in?
Pre-harvest low.
All right, that's fine. We could live with that one. Mike Georgie of Allendale?
Well, I think Kurt's in it right in a lot of areas, but I think we also got to watch the crude oil market and the dollar. There's kind of a tight correlation between the corn and the crude, and I think you saw that yesterday when crude was up 5 and the dollar was down strong, and today it kind of reversed. So it's kind of following that market, and we'll have to see where that goes as well.
So you're going to say pre-harvest as well as opposed to harvest? Based on crude oils.
Some of it's based on crude oil, yep.
Vince Reinicke.
Yeah, I can't diverge from what the two folks have said already, and that is, you know, really pre-harvest low. I would suggest that we've seen the pre-harvest low, and now we'll see how the growing season closes out, and that will tell us one way or the other as to whether or not we see another low.
And Pro Farmer has released its crop estimates, and remember, these are different rather than the Midwest Crop Tour and what it would show. Pro Farmer now pegs U.S. corn crop at 12.152 billion bushels, the yield at 153.3, and the soybeans at 2.93 billion with a yield of 39.95. Are they closer than the USDA was last time around?
I think that, you know, according to our calculations, I think they're real close to what we are. We're at a 152.8, and that's based on the crop condition report every week. So I'd say they're more realistic. USDA's pretty much too optimistic, we feel.
You know, I can't disagree with what Mike just mentioned, and when it comes right down to it, I think 155 is extremely optimistic, almost unrealistic. But, you know, the government's a little high, and I think 150 down closer to trend line is probably a little on the low side. And as the discussion was in our office today, you know, realistically, splitting hairs on any kind of estimate on our corn crop and beans, for that matter, this year is going to be awfully tough until we start hearing some early harvest numbers, just because there's a lot of guesswork going on right now. And it seems like this year's an even harder one to guess than any other.
The numbers in Chicago on the grains floor finished the week like this. September oats at $3.65 were down 8.5 cents. They were really one of the few losers there. September wheat futures at 932 and a quarter on their high, the low at 823, The settlement price up 41 and a quarter on the week at 865 and a half. July week over week at $9.35 and three quarters, 37 cents higher. Corn futures had a high this week in the SEPs at 605 and a quarter, a low at $5.36. And a settlement price up 56 and three quarters at $5.86 and a half. December corn futures at 606 and a half, up 57. If not a harvest low, where do we go and in which direction, Kurt Kimmel?
Well, we feel we're sideways to higher. Like Mike hit on there, we could probably back and fill here on weaker energies or weaker outside markets, but we feel sideways to higher into December.
And Vince?
You know, just to comment on that quickly, I think most of the major information has been touched on. That is the dollar going to get stronger or is it going to stay the same, going to get weaker? What impact does that have on crude oil? You know, from an outside market standpoint, and then as we get closer to harvest, what kind of numbers we're starting to see out of the field. And you asked about a harvest low. Do we see maybe another harvest low, or do we see a harvest low that might get lower than the preseason low that we've talked about? And I think all of those factors have to be somehow correlated or somehow enter into that discussion. And by no means do I know the answer, but, you know, you got to think that if our crop comes out better, we're going to see more pressure.
While I have your attention, Vincent, because I'm thinking about it, FarmDoc released its crop calculators for wheat insurance this fall. Tell me about what you sell a lot of insurance.
Sure.
Organization. Tell me what your thoughts are there.
Sure. You know, I think one of the major points that I guess I need to steal a little airtime for, that is the recent government or the farm bill that just came out. You know, there's some real, I guess, changes as far as how disaster payments might work and how you might qualify for disaster payments, et cetera, not just for the 2008 year, but also moving forward, 2009 all the way to 2012 or however long. But the whole SURE program, and I don't remember exactly what that acronym stands for, but nonetheless, to qualify for 2009, any kind of 2009 disaster payment, you've got to insure all of your crops, all commodities, including wheat, which the sign-up for that ends on the 30th of September. So that's something that everybody's going to have to, one way or the other, if you feel like you need disaster assistance, for the 2009 crop, you're going to have some sort of wheat insurance. So even if that's a very low level. But I think, you know, shifting back to your question, Todd, I think that the major focus needs to be on the revenue side more than the yield side. We've seen some big increases in tea yields for those folks that haven't planted a lot of wheat in Illinois. Indiana's similar. And so that's a benefit if you haven't planted a lot of wheat. But at the same time, you really need to focus in on the revenue coverage, the revenue part of the wheat equation, the wheat crop insurance equation, in our opinion. And whether that's with a county product or with a CRC RA product on your own acres, either way, you still need, I think, need to protect that revenue of the price via the revenue policy.
Kurt, some will put wheat in because they do, and it's in their normal rotations. Others last year put it in for the very first time. On the revenue side, would it be worthwhile for them to continue that process this year?
Pretty much so. You know, they'll push the pencil. I've seen guys push pencils a lot earlier than they have in the past. But the big probably determinant factors we go in this fall will probably be the weather. What type of weather situation we'll look at, that'll be the underlying factor.
Yeah, so, going along with that, I mean, realistically, late spring, later harvest, can I get my wheat planted on time? Right, Kurt?
Right. So do we have a rally in the wheat market more than we've had at this point?
Well, we got to remember the world big picture. We're going to have record world production and replenish supplies over time. So I think we're going to be in a situation here where if they can go ahead and get in this fall and have favorable weather, and if beans stay where they are in here, we'll see the producers may take one more attempt at wheat with double crop beans.
Tell me about the supply and demand situation as you see it, Mike, over the long run as we head into the 2009 calendar year and then after that the 2009-2010 marketing year. What that tells you about where prices might be headed over the long run into the spring. We certainly rallied this year with a 1.5 billion bushel carryout. Now we're looking at a 1.1 billion bushel carryout.
Well, starting out with the wheat, you know, there's a lot of wheat. There's a lot of good demand for wheat. But the idea is that the total grain supply, not just wheat, is only 58 days And back in 2000, we were at like 115 days. So, you know, the supply is still tight. Beans were at 135 million bushel. And this crop yield this year is what nobody knows yet is going to be the deciding factor of where we go in pricing. And, you know, I think we have a big supply of wheat, but we're 10% ahead on our wheat export sales. And with the dollar getting stronger, they think exports may slow. But I also think with tight supplies, you got South Korea that's interested in buying more corn here over the next couple months rather than feed wheat. So the demand is still good. The supplies, you know, could be 1.1. They could still be under a billion bushel if we don't get these yields that everybody says. And, of course, the bean crop is behind. Everybody knows it's behind. So, you know, we need to have another good weather in September to finish the bean crop out.
Vince, has it surprised you at how well-heeled, and I'm going to use that word, the marketplace seems to have been when it looks? I know we went from an 800 to a 1.1 for the carryout on the corn. But the marketplace doesn't seem as if it's particularly worried at this point, that it's satisfied that certainly this year we were able to have enough supply with a 1.5 billion bushel carryout, and that a 1.1 billion bushel carryout might just carry us through easily enough next summer, too. Has that security or a thought of security, I guess, surprised you at all?
By security, I suppose, using corn as an example, you're
well,
talking
price
about
security. I mean,
right,
the price just really hasn't rallied on a 1.1 billion bushel carryout.
Right, exactly. And what I was going to say is that you're probably talking about the fact that we're still, what, $1 to $1.50 under our highs from earlier this summer. And you know, there's still a good bit of uncertainty, like everybody's mentioned, for 2009. And yes, I have to admit that, you know, anything can happen here. And I think the strength in the dollar probably has brought a little bit of calmness, if you will, to an overly exuberant potential rally. But yeah, it's been a little surprising. I anticipated that we might rally a little bit farther to this point. By no means do I think that any kind of rally, you know, here is done. But at the same time, you know, I got to think that we got to be looking at selling opportunities here sometime. Cautiously looking at selling opportunities for this crop, but still, we got to be fairly optimistic when we look ahead very far.
Will we see, do you think, Kurt, this spring, this coming spring, this fall, late this fall yet, an acreage war in Chicago?
I think we're already in that. When you look at the 09, 010 on out, they're holding some premium here, and I think we're in that mode. There's the anxiety. Plus, too, you talk about the dollar strengthening. Actually, that is kind of bullish, because if you see the dollar strengthen, you know your price is going to go up. You're going to start forward booking and gathering inventory ahead of time, especially as we go in this fall. On the end user side, you're going to use week basis to get some coverage on. But no, we have the acreage war on now. It'll get more dramatic and more publicized as we get into this winter.
Are there any extra acres left to be put in? Dr. Darrell Good reminded me this week that over the last 2 years, and you'll have to forgive me, I think it's 4 million a year. Maybe we're up 8 million acres total. Is that right, over the last 2 years? Are there acres left beyond CRP to put into the production, or do we just really have to shift acres this time around?
I got to think that, you know, there's a few, 3 million or something to that effect from CRP that we could get, and by no means do I think we'll get them all. But, you know, those acres are fairly minimal as we look ahead, given the USDA's decision to not allow any kind of early out. Everything's tight, and whether it be switches, which will be tough to corn given the high input costs, or just, you know, pasture being changed, you know, over to farmland or tilled farmland. It's going to have to come from somewhere besides CRP, obviously.
Here's the way the numbers from the CME side's mercantile livestock side settled for the week. Live cattle, August contract, a high this week at 102.60, a low at 112.5. August live cattle settled at 101.85, up 17.5 cents from the previous week. August feeder cattle at 112.85, down 105. Lean hogs, October at 76.65 on the high. The low at 73.65, a settlement price at 73.75, $1.80 lower for the week. The cattle on feed report was out Friday afternoon, showed cattle on feed at 96% as of August the 1st, at 103% placed in July, and 102 in the marketings. What did you make of those numbers when they came out on Friday afternoon?
I thought they were bullish. They were right in line with our guesses. So, you know, we think the supplies are going to be tight here early, and even though we should be increasing production here in the next couple months, we think it's going to be tight, and that should be strong to the cattle market.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Chip Flory, a pro farmer. He's fresh off the Midwest Crop Tour. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of WILL Public Radio for the farming world. Our panelists in studio today are Mike Georgie of Allendale, Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Cool and dry weather continued for most of this week across Illinois, with conditions more typical of mid-September. Rainfall this week was non-existent until a trough of low pressure pushed showers first into western Illinois on Wednesday night and then across the remainder of the state on Thursday. Rainfall amounts were generally light, and with the heaviest amounts from around a half inch to isolated 1 inch amounts. Most of the state is well behind normal rainfall for August, the exception being northeastern Illinois. Heavy thunderstorms the first week of the month left behind some significant rain there. Temperatures this week were near normal in the north and 5 to 6 degrees below normal in the far south, where clouds were more prevalent. So far this month, temperatures are 2 to 3 degrees below normal. Modified growing degree days for corn are running from 100 to 200 units behind normal across the state. Cooler and less humid weather will filter back into Illinois early next week following the passage of a cold front on Sunday. The front will trigger some scattered showers and thunderstorms, which could produce some 1/2 inch amounts. High pressure will settle in over the Great Lakes for much of next week, returning conditions similar to what we have experienced the last 10 days or so. Chances for more rain should increase next Thursday and Friday as another cold front sweeps through the Midwest. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, August the 22nd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio are Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Mike Georgie of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest is Chip Flory, a pro farmer. Chip joined Pro Farmer in 1991. His specialty is anticipating the impact of major developments in supply and demand prospects on market psychology and price trends. Today, he comes to us after a full week of walking the fields on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Are you tired, Chip?
Yeah, I am. But you know what? This was such a rewarding week. We had a great group of scouts out there. Our tour sponsors, Pioneer and John Deere Risk Protection, brought in some amazing crowds at our evening meetings. We had a pretty spectacular week out there on the road.
I have one question for you before we really get started into what the numbers look like. I'm interested to know, and I assume that this was just testing the water, so it may have failed miserably or it may have done very well. How did the webinar go on Friday morning?
It went well. It went well. We had some pretty good attendance on that on the webinar. Had about just over 50 people, and most of them were. It was an interesting group that signed up for it. We had a lot of New York and Chicago addresses on that webinar here this morning.
That's the power of the internet, and I think that you can put 50 down as a success for that. And hopefully you made a little bit of money on it.
Yeah.
That's my guess. So, well, let's talk about the numbers and how crazy things might have been as you came across the western leg and what Roger Bernard found as he came through the eastern side.
You bet. Okay, first off, I'm not sure who said it there, but somebody said it's still a lot of guesswork. We won't know what the yield is until the combines roll. That is absolutely correct. It is still a lot of guesswork out there in the field. We measured yield potential, and that's because of the late development of the crop. And we know that when we're looking at a late developing corn crop in particular here, guys, that it so much depends on the weather from this point forward. In the weather report said it was like mid-September weather in Illinois here this last week. Well, you know what? If we can slow cook this thing into the end of the season, put an extension on the growing season of 10 days or 2 weeks, then I'm going to feel pretty good about the test week. If we put a lot of heat on this crop, that's going to speed up development. That's going to lighten up our test weights because we're just shortening the time that those kernels have to accumulate dry matter. So that is so true. And like I said, I'm not sure who said it, but he's absolutely right. And then the same thing applies to the bean crop, and I think probably even more. One thing that people tend to forget is that a late planted bean crop, it just struggles to catch up throughout the year. And it may set a lot of pods, but the size of that bean means so much to the final bean yield. And a late planted bean crop just has such a tough time making a big bean. And that's what I'm concerned about out there, especially now that we're into August, the month that determines the bean yield out there, and we're as dry as we are. What Roger saw out on the eastern side, guys, Ohio is very dry. Corn is exceptionally late. They were in some fields that were just pollinating. That kind of condition gets into eastern Indiana, but western Indiana looks more like Illinois does this year. We're not too worried about the maturity of the corn crop in Illinois or the bean crop. Looks like they're both going to make it before we get to that killing frost. Iowa, it's quite the recovery story that we're talking about in Iowa. The corn crop has recovered. Continues the recovery process, and it's going to be in that recovery process right up until the combines roll. It's been living on the edge, man, trying to catch up all year long, and with the slow accumulation of growing degree days, that's going to continue right up until that first frost comes along. In South Dakota, pretty exceptional crop that we looked at up there. The problem with it is that it's so late. I don't care when it frosts up there. So some of that corn is going to get nipped. Northeast Nebraska, sort of the same story as South Dakota, but not quite as far behind. Southeast Nebraska, I'm not worried about that crop making it to maturity. And up in Minnesota, we've got a crop that's in the late milk, early dough stage. You want to panic over that in Minnesota, but we've seen it before. Like I said, slow cook it into the end of the year, and I think we'll probably be all right.
Chip, I just got a quick question for you in regards to the dryland acres that you guys saw. And I know you didn't see a large portion of them, but I've seen and heard from some folks out in Nebraska, Kansas, South Dakota, North Dakota, all over, talk about particularly the western parts of those states, you know, where maybe a few more acres were added, the dry land being in better shape than what would be normal, quite a bit better, actually, than normal. And I was just curious what you saw or what your feelings are.
Your sources are absolutely correct on that. We came out of South Dakota with what would be a record corn yield. But it's the maturity on that yield up there or on that crop that really concerns us. When we took some bushels off the Nebraska yield, but it's not because of the dry land. The dry land's awesome. It's not unusual to go through Nebraska and find a bunch of 50, 60, 70 bushel dry land corn. This year, we found a bunch of 135, 140, 150. My top dry land corn yield in Nebraska was 179 bushels to the acre. That it's it was just outstanding, corn in Nebraska. What disappointed us in Nebraska was the irrigated corn. And I think those issues that we were looking at in the irrigated corn go right back to the wet planting season, and you know, a lot of planter skips, uneven ear sets on the stalks, so you know you had some staggered emergence and uneven emergence, and those kinds of things always create problems once the combines roll.
Talking about Iowa, I think earlier this month or last month, the Pro Farmer come out and showed the huge donut holes in the
yep.
Iowa farmland, and
yep.
and the trade kind of blew it off and said,
yep.
"Oh well, you know, there's somebody else going to produce more to cover that." I mean, that's
yep.
kind of hard to say about the number one corn crop. Do you see that? I mean, did you see a lot of holes yet, or were they kind of covered up?
Oh no, we saw a lot of holes out there. The difference between those pictures that we had in the middle of July and now is that there's actually something growing in it, and what's growing in those holes in a lot of cases is a really, really late developing bean crop. You know, they just kind of rolled the dice, went out there into those holes and seeded in some beans in a lot of cases. And that was done earlier, too. That was done earlier. You know, the JDRP guys that were with us were talking about how busy they were with their prevent plant claims and their lost acreage claims early this year. And then all of a sudden those claims were called back because guys were looking at the price of soybeans and said, you know what, I can get a tractor in that drowned out spot now. I'm going to go in there and seed those into soybeans. So we've got rivers of soybeans running through cornfields in central Iowa now. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. So there are still issues out there, though, that we have to account for. USDA says they're confident in their harvested acreage estimate for Iowa. I'd believe them in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. I don't believe them in Iowa. I think that harvested acreage number in Iowa has to come down a little bit. And if it doesn't come down a little bit, our estimate of 168.5 bushels per acre is probably going to be a little bit too high because we're going to have some zero yields in there at the end of the year.
Hey, Chip, did you see much tipping back in the corn? And secondly, too, what about the double crop beans?
Illinois, yes on the tip back. Iowa, yes on the tip back. Minnesota, yes on the tip back. Two reasons, dry conditions. Second reason, nitrogen. We've got some denitrification of the soil out there. We've had some nitrogen leaching as well. And as a result, this corn crop, the last 2 years, guys, when we went through the Corn Belt, it was as dark green as it could be. And, you know, almost hurt your eyes to look at it. This year, it's got just a little bit of that pale tinge to it. And I that's a combination of the dry conditions in August and the nitrogen problems. The double crop beans, I wasn't in any double crop beans, guys. I'd hate to comment on it and say something wrong.
You think Emerson Napsiger thinks that USDA probably caught the tip back in their counts because it was a pollination problem with the nitrogen. You think that's right?
No.
All right.
Nope. They've got to pull back those husks like we did and take a look at those ears before they can catch that.
Chip, thanks much.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Chip Laurie is with Pro Farmer just off the Midwest Crop Tour. A final word from our panelist in studio, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Well, like we said earlier, the dynamic market, and there's still a lot of what-ifs out there.
Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Allendale's conducting their 19th annual crop yield survey. Go to our website, allendale-inc.com, and participate.
And Vince Reinecke of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Uncertainty still is the major buzzword here, and as we go forward, we got to turn some of that uncertainty into certainty, and you know, take some money, put it in the bank when you can decide it's the right thing to do.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind: you can always access Commodity Week if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a safe week, and if you get the opportunity to see us at the Farm Progress Show, check us out at the Iowa State Extension site or in the AgriGold tent. I'm Todd Gleason.